the fact that our inner dialogue is so critical for us to create the future that we want, because our thoughts and that foundation first needs to be a little bit more positive, and then we can create the world we want to live in. We can create our reality. We can create the things that we want to see. We can manifest those things. But it first needs to begin with, how is my inner dialogue?
Welcome to the Core Happiness Podcast. I'm your host, Casey Banks, a mindset and positive psychology coach. On this podcast, we discuss all things related to creating happiness from within. So let's do it. Welcome back to the show. Today, I will be speaking with guest Sharon Hafetz, a mindset coach, entrepreneur, published author, and mom of three, whose purpose is to empower women to reach their fullest potential and aid them in creating productive, harmonious lives by reconnecting and rediscovering their true selves and desires. Intrigued by quantum physics and the law of attraction, she knows that our thoughts shape our reality and that we always have the power of choice. Couple that with her personal experiences as a mother, and her coaching style blends personal insight with proven strategies. I am so excited for this conversation. Let's get going. Sharon, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
So great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
There's so much that I want to talk to you about today, but can you start with sharing more about your personal journey and what inspired you to make the shift from an entrepreneur to coaching moms and other entrepreneurs?
I think everywhere we reach in life, basically everything we did till that point led us to where we are. But we moved to Mexico, my husband and I, new country, new language, new everything, started a journey there with a business and had a lot of luck, but worked really, really, really hard and started a family at the same time. Found ourselves working 7 days a week, morning to night. Thought I knew it all, you know, after being this like entrepreneur, and I know how to put out fires, and I know how to help people and empower them and help them reach their goals and everything. And then, you know, children come into the equation and you're like, what? Oh, I am clueless. You know, it's like they give you this new mirror, this new world, this new perspective of life, a new meaning. And you start figuring everything out again.
Yeah.
As a mother, the first years, they're kind of like you go into the survival mode because you need to make sure that baby survives. Mm-hmm. Feeding, schedule, sleep time, nap time. Your body's not yours. Everything's not yours. Everything is around this new precious little thing. And I think a lot of women get lost and are yearning to reconnect and rediscover themselves. I keep saying the same story, but it's so accurate. Like my husband would come home and say, wow, I heard this new song, or I listened to this podcast on the way, and I'm like, what, when do you have time for even to think of like where to start to listen to a song or like what podcast? I was like lost in five different schedules.
Juggling, yeah.
And juggling and working and burnt out. You know, we lose ourselves in that journey, and not only moms, women, that pleaser, that nurturer inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain point, if you're not aware and you're not mindful of yourself and being aligned with yourself and reconnecting with yourself and knowing your boundaries and who you are and what's important for you and what music you like and how, what podcast you want to listen to or what message do you want to spread to the world? It can go that big or it can go to something very small as like, what's your favorite color? Kind of rediscovering yourself again. Not just from the past, I used to do this, or I had this, or from the future, I will do this because I'm in the process of, but just like reconnecting to right now. What do I feel right now? What do I like right now? What is right for me right now? What is not right for me right now? We put ourselves on hold a lot. We put ourselves on the side a lot. And that's what makes us go down.
That spiral.
It's our happiness.
Yeah. Yeah, I always say that too. I think as women, like as you said, because of we're so nurturing, we get into this habit of putting everyone before ourselves, right? It's wanting to take care of everyone else and everything else. And I think we have this sort of innate thinking that if we do that, then we're going to be fine,
right? And we lose ourselves in those roles, and we somehow start to become defined by those roles rather than defining the role. And
right.
I think a lot of times it's almost like you just wake up one day and you're like, wait a minute, how'd I get here? Who am I? Like, where did I go? And so I'm wondering for you, because it sounds pretty similar of, I don't even know what music I like. I don't even know what podcast I would even listen to. I don't even have the time to even do that. So where do you find that time? I know you're a mother of three, but especially as a mother, how do you find the time to say, okay, you know what? I need to get back to me.
Understanding that I need something to change. And this putting everyone else first is not working best for me, because you drain yourself out at the end.
Absolutely.
And it's exactly, you know, they always give that the example of on the plane, if you're with your child, you're going to put the mask on yourself first and on your child, right? You can't
right.
pour from an empty glass. There's a lot of different sayings, right? Mm-hmm. So they're true. You know, just like, we need to take care of ourselves. We need to understand, like, that's the first step. This running on empty is not working for me right now. Mm-hmm. It's not serving me. Putting everyone before me is not serving them either, because you're not in your best mood. You're not doing things from a whole heart. You're not giving your best because yeah. you're not there full-heartedly. And after that, something's got to change. And there's like listening to our thoughts and our words, the words that we use regarding the stories that we tell ourselves, the way we talk to ourselves.
Yeah.
So our thoughts and our words create our reality, right? Because if I'm going to sit and complain to you for 20, 30 minutes, and then I'm going to go outside, I'll probably be still annoyed. And if something comes by me outside, it's probably going to be annoying as well. And if I'm going to sit and laugh with you for 20, 30 minutes and I'm going to do the same thing, step outside, I'm probably going to smile at the tree or a bird that flew by or something else, because I'm going to notice something else. I'm going to have a different set of glasses on me, like a different lens that I'm viewing the world with.
Mm-hmm. And you said something interesting. We as women have many different things going on at many different times, right? And we often feel like there's just not enough time in the day. And so when we feel like we have to give up something, and something has to be put to the side or sacrificed, we start with ourselves. And I'm wondering from you, why do you think that is? Why do you think that we start with ourselves when it comes to sacrificing time?
Guiltless.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that we can do without disappointing someone else, taking away from someone else, right? The nurturer doesn't want to take away the food that we just served.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't want to give a gift and take it back. So it's very hard to disappoint someone else.
Yeah. I know that's one of the things you talk about is the path to living guilt-free. And I think that comes with everyone. I mean, I myself am not a mother, but I still have guilt when it comes to friendships or anything where I feel like I have to prioritize myself and my time that may require me stepping away or creating a boundary. And I feel guilty about it. So how do you, when you're working with your clients, talk through the path to living guilt-free?
It's a process, right? But I think it all boils down to understanding your why, because you have a very clear goal, a very clear why, a very clear intention. A lot of times, because we're pleasers, because we don't want to disappoint someone, we flow a lot of times. Not every little thing is done always with intention. But if we prioritize our intentions and we prioritize our whys and we prioritize our goals, and I'm not talking like in the entrepreneurial like goal setting, but like goals, like what are your desires? Like, what do you really want? What do you want to look like? What do you want your life to look like? What do you want your morning to look like? How do you want to feel during the day? What smile do you want to wear? Like, how do you want to walk around? And you have that and you have the intention, and what will that take? And what do I need to do? And what is your why? And I think that once you're clear and aligned with yourself, those boundaries come more naturally and the guilt doesn't exist. Because if I would try to convince you to do something that's against your values, it wouldn't even be an issue, right? You'd say, no, Sharon, it's not for me, right? It would be so clear. It's not even, you wouldn't think of, oh no, I'm disappointing her right now. It would just be, oh no, I don't do that.
It sounds like it's just multiple habits on top of the other, but the first is getting really clear on the why and setting that intention. And I know a very close friend of mine, a lot of times what she says is when she goes back and thinks about her why, she also thinks about what example am I setting for my child? And that becomes the source of the why, right? So regardless if it's a hard decision or whatever it is, it's really thinking about a broader view, a broader perspective of what example am I setting also? And then, as you said, it's, I think, making sure that we know that it's okay to take time out for ourselves and start to get back to our why, think about what type of person I want to be, how do I want to show up in the world, how do I want to feel, and then set those personal goals. And granted, like you said, it doesn't have to be these grand, huge goals that are bound to entrepreneurs or professionals or anything like that. But it is good to have a goal so you know what you're aiming towards. And I think that is almost a foundation for us to where we don't lose our footing so easily.
And sometimes a goal may sound scary, especially when you set it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But if you change that to an intention, a clear why, and you start doing that throughout the day, it'll allow you to practice it. There's this thing, Abraham Hicks talks about it, Esther Hicks, she says, segment intenting. And that was something that I learned a few years back from her. A segment is considered like every time something changes in the vibe of the room. For example, you're sitting with a friend and you're talking about something, and then a third friend comes and joins. That moment that that friend comes and joins, the energy in the room is going to change, right? This conversation is going to change. The whatever happened till then, the segment is going to change. So she says, before each segment, give intention for that segment. For example, I do that at home. My daughter, 13-year-old, comes in with a face. I look at that face and I say, okay, that's not me. It has nothing to do with me. I have intention to stay positive and out of her vibe right now, and outside of that energy that she's bringing in, I'm going to let her know that I'm here for her. I love her. I'm going to smile and hug her if she lets me, and I'm going to move on, but it's not going to enter my field.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, for me, those segment intentions are just boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so guilty of that. I absorb it. I'm trying to observe and not absorb.
Right.
But I am definitely an absorber, and I can tell also when it's happening. And I think it takes a lot of consciousness, a lot of mindfulness to be able to notice the segment and then create that boundary quickly to where you don't absorb it. And I'm definitely a work in progress on that. But I love that. And I think that's one of the most powerful things you can do is to observe somebody's energy, but not absorb it.
Especially empaths, you know, like you. You absorb things that nothing around you has to do with you. Everyone has a bag with their whole world, their upbringing, their culture, their parents, the adults that were around them, their social interactions, their things they learned, their beliefs, their behaviors, so many things. Like, if that interaction between your world and their world, at that moment, there was so many years and time that led up to that interaction. And once you realize that it's just an interaction with someone else's world for a moment and that it has nothing to do with you, it's easier to be that observer, I think.
I love that. When we talk about rediscovering, which I think is also extremely powerful, and finding balance, in addition to obviously the things that we've already talked about, which is starting with your why, setting that intention, having a goal, being mindful, noticing those segments, creating boundaries where needed, are there any other things that you feel are pretty essential when it comes to rediscovery and finding the balance as women?
I think going back to the words and thoughts, because it's all there, it's all in our mindset. Understanding that we can be our best cheerleader or our worst critic, and usually that's what we are. We are our worst critic. And the amount of negative praises that we give ourselves, the amount of horrible blessings that we give ourselves all day long, that's our inner dialogue. And when we pay attention to our inner dialogue and we notice how we talk to ourselves, and we think, hold on, would I talk to my child or to my best friend like that?
Yeah.
If my best friend just made a mistake and got burnt emotionally, would I tell her, oh my gosh, I can't believe how stupid you are and how dumb you are and you did that again and you should have left him at this time. And I told you this and I told you this. No, we would never say that. That's what's going to build her confidence. That's what's going to create a more resilient, stronger woman, empowered woman in the future. No. So if you're not going to say it to them, don't say it to yourself.
Yeah.
I have an ebook that your listeners can download and read a little bit more. It says inner dialogue in motherhood, but it's relevant for all women. It's just the fact that our inner dialogue is so critical for us to create the future that we want, because our thoughts and that foundation first needs to be a little bit more positive, and then we can create the world we want to live in.
Oh, yes.
We can create our life. We can create our reality. We can create the things that we want to see. We can manifest those things. But it first needs to begin with, how is my dialogue with myself? And then once we start there, link it around to how is the dialogue with the people that are around me? What is the first thing I say when I meet a friend? Am I first complaining? Oh, what horrible traffic, or right? A lot of, most of the time, the first common denominator that we go through is that negative talk.
Yep. That is such a big one. And I don't know what it is. And I don't know why we tend to do it. But it's one of the, I think, hardest things to do is to silence that negative inner dialogue. Maybe it's because it's been happening for a long time. It's like almost like the default.
It is the default. Our default goes to negative, not because of the negative. Don't look at it as negative. Think of it as survival. Right. So our default goes there to ensure that when, you know, ego goes up and ensures that we're going to survive. But once we put that mindfulness in there, and mindfulness means just become aware of it. First, notice that you've been doing it.
Yeah.
Once you're aware of them, it's going to decrease. So maybe you're not going to change it into a positive, but you can stop it. And today, when I can't change things into a positive, I just keep reminding myself, like, okay, I'm getting better and better.
I think that's the key, right? It's just to get better. And I think sometimes we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. And I know when I talk to clients about self-compassion, it's almost like they become harder on themselves because they feel like when they catch themselves doing it, they're like, ah, and then it's even more negative self-talk. But it's not about trying to be perfect. It's not about trying to eliminate it altogether. Like you said, being aware of it, but then also just making sure that we dial it back. So it's maybe not 20 times a day. Maybe you can get down to maybe 2 times a day. You'll see drastic, amazing results from that. And then giving yourself grace. I mean, I think that's one of the things too, is just being able to be mindful of the times where we can give ourselves grace.
Yes.
And space. A lot of this reminds me of also like the law of attraction. And I know you also speak of the law of attraction. And can you tell me, essentially, when you're working with your clients and as a mindset coach, how do you explain the law of attraction to them in terms of energy, vibration, just overall mindset?
Okay, so everything has a vibration. Everything has an energy field around it. It's not something in the woo-woo world. It's something in the science world. And that vibration is affected by things around us, by things inside us. And most of it begins by, again, going back to our thoughts. And the law of attraction says basically what you're thinking about is what you're going to have more of.
They always say energy goes where attention flows. Is that what it is?
Right.
But it's along those lines of whatever you focus on expands, essentially.
Right. So when you see that, like, your day, everything's going backwards, just stop for a second. Take a deep breath. Take the responsibility on you. That's a big one. Taking the responsibility on you. Like, really understanding that this day is not working out because of me as well. There's always going to be outside circumstances. There's always going to be things that are going to fall in our plate. Things are always going to happen. But like, when we're aligned, when we are balanced, when we are mindful of our thoughts and about everything around us, it's easier to control and navigate your day and create the day that you want.
But I think it's also a great opportunity to be able to have some control in a world where we often feel like we don't. There's so many people who are like, oh, I get so frustrated that I can't control things. Like, I want to be able to control things. And I think it's, I mean, when I'm listening to you, I think it's a beautiful thing because this is something you can control. You can control yourself. You can control taking that time out, making sure that your energy is aligned. That's something that you can control. You can control how you react to things, even if it's negative.
And I find that the easiest way, like, you know, maybe a lot of people now are like, yeah, well, I have the responsibility, but great, now what? So I think first breathing, taking like 3 deep breaths to disconnect, to recenter yourself. Deep breaths, full lung breath, like really inhale and exhale deeply. And then give yourself 5 points to be grateful for. I remember when my employees were like frustrated of their day and it wasn't working out for them. I was like, okay, stop. Did you take out everything you needed to complain about? And they're like, no. Okay, so keep going for like another few minutes. And I'm like, okay, now stop. Now I want you to tell me 5 good things that happened today. And they're like, nothing good happened. I'm like, no such thing. You're here, aren't you? So you can go to like big things like, I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for things like that, which a lot of times we say, but we're not always completely connected and feeling to that. But sometimes it could be like, my coffee tasted so good this morning and I'm grateful for that. Or I'm grateful that I had time to do something. Or I'm grateful that I didn't forget something. Or I'm grateful that this week I'm looking forward for something. You know, and you just give yourself a few points to kind of shift your energy, to shift your point of focus from that negative vibe. And you're not supposed to look at fault like, oh, blame yourself. I put myself in that negative vibe. Doesn't matter. Like, I'm in a negative place. Take a few breaths. Disconnect for a second. Think of a few good things that happened. Go general on the feeling and just try and shift to a little bit more positive. I want fun. I want abundance.
Yeah.
I started manifesting in the beginning when I saw The Secret for the first time, and it was manifesting a parking space, and I would just like play with it. You know, it's fun. And then learning how to shift your energy, that energy about how you're feeling.
I love that you keep saying feeling, because that is a big one. And I think a lot of times when people think about manifestation, it's about the thing. I want to manifest this thing, and this thing hasn't happened, therefore manifestation does not work. And for me, the thing that really changed my mind about manifesting was when it was explained to me through a feeling. Focus on how you want to feel. So yes, it may be that you're manifesting a close parking spot. How you feel when you get that parking spot? That helps with the energy of alignment, right? Because when we try to focus on the materialistic of thing, it may not always turn out to be that thing, but it might be something close that manifests, but we're not paying attention. We don't notice it because we're so focused on the physical representation that we had in our mind, right, of exactly what we wanted.
Right. And sometimes it's just ease. We need ease, or we need fun, or we want to feel free. And, you know, sometimes, for example, you were saying, how are you going to feel when you find that parking spot? When you find a parking spot, usually you're not going to get up and dance, right? You're not going to start cheering on or something like that. But you'll have that like, that is so cool, right? Mm-hmm. That feeling.
Yep.
And it's not going to be a big deal if you do or you don't. So a lot of times it's easier to manifest a parking spot because it's not a big deal. So it's like this feeling that it's easier for you to connect, right? You can visualize it. You'll be like, okay, it's going to be in the front there. Someone's going to come out exactly at the time that I'm going to come in. And he's just going to work his way. He's finishing. He's paying up. I would like create this whole story. He's finishing up in the restaurant. He's paying now. He's coming towards the car. I'm going into the parking lot. And it's going to go out right when I come. And sometimes it would happen and I would just let it go because it's not really a big issue if I'm going to have a parking spot. But sometimes that's what makes it happen. And a lot of times when we try to manifest things that we don't wholeheartedly believe in, that's why it's so important to connect to the feeling and understand the feeling that it gives you. Because sometimes the manifestation of the physical is so hard for us to really believe because we don't physically have it as of this moment, or we have never had it before.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to keep thinking about it. But while we keep thinking about it, there comes that contradicting thought. And then we kind of second guess ourselves. We doubt ourselves. And those contradicting thoughts bring us like to that tug of war that doesn't let us find that balance or that center to that manifestation. And that manifestation is not going to happen. And that's why a lot of times, like starting with something that we can visualize, can believe, and can feel, we'll make that happen. And then we can move on to the next, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it also goes back to what you were saying earlier about intention. What's the intention behind what you're trying to manifest? Like
the why, right?
Right, the why. Like, because I know $1 million always comes up, it seems, when people talk about manifestation, right? I want to manifest winning the lottery. But what's the why? Is the why, I want to win the lottery to prove if manifestation works or not? Like, what is the actual intention behind it also? Because that goes back to the belief as well.
Right.
Like, do you really believe that you are worthy of it, that you are deserving of it? Or is this a test to prove something to you. So I think a lot of our intentions behind what we're trying to manifest plays a big part into the energy that we give out and the help with that alignment as well.
100%. Yeah. 100% agree.
I know we talked about your ebook, which I'm going to link into the show notes, which is called A Mompreneur's Guide to Mastering Your Inner Dialogue. And is there anything else that you wanted to say about the ebook that people should know and why they should go over and grab it?
When they download the ebook, they'll get a lot more information. If you'd like, you could connect to me. There's a newsletter that I send out once every week or two to mamas with little tips, and it's just mindset tips. Beyond that, I am starting a monthly mindset coffee physically in San Diego and probably April. I'm going to start the monthly mindset coffees online as well. It's free and just to kind of support each other through this process.
That is beautiful. Please keep me posted on that. I would love to be a part of that as well.
Perfect. Sounds great.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been so great having you on.
So happy to be here. Thank you.
To our core happiness listeners, all of Sharon's information, including her website, Instagram, and Facebook links, will be listed in the show notes, along with the link to her Inner Dialogue ebook guide for you to download for free. Or you can visit her website, www.sharonhafetzconsulting.com. Until next time, be mindful of how you talk to yourself, and happy manifesting. I thank you for joining me today. If you enjoyed this podcast, please feel free to rate it or leave a review. If you have any thoughts or questions, I would love to hear from you. You can email podcast@corehappiness.com. For show notes and additional resources, you can visit www.corehappiness.com. As always, please remember, never let anyone diminish your light. Until next time, sending you my love.